In this story, Peter is challenged to do something that we don't have reference for today.
Right, and what it is for us today is a challenge to push ourselves out of our comfort zones for what we're willing to accept. Guys, we're back here, Cross Connection Acts. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Lauren here today and Samantha. Thank you so much for being a part of this, and we're excited.
Yes, and we will be studying actually Acts chapter 10. So right. We've gone a long way from chapter 1 to chapter 10. And I would like to encourage you as well to go back and study this book of Acts. And if you didn't happen to do it, just pause and do it.
That's right. You can go to the Hope Channel store. We have a Bible study guide up for you right now. Hit pause, check that out, and you'll be right there with us.
Excellent. So before we open the scripture, let us pray. And Lauren, could you say a quick word of prayer?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here together to study your word, and just pray that you will open our minds to what it is that you have for us right here, right now. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Okay. So what we will do, we will take a look at this extremely interesting and difficult story. Difficult for Peter. So, and we begin with actually Cornelius the Gentile. And Sergio, who was this Cornelius?
Yeah, let's take a character profile on Cornelius. This is a new character introduced to us in the Acts narrative. So let's learn about him. Firstly, he's based in Caesarea. He is a Gentile, a Roman, and he's a warlord, really, a centurion. But we're also told that he's actually God-fearing and prayerful, and that he gave to those in need.
Okay, so three elements that are extremely important for us to understand about Cornelius. First, he was in Caesarea. Some people say, oh, so what?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll find out what so what is. So Caesarea, second, he was a Gentile, and third, he was a warlord. So let's just take a look at the map. And so if we look at the map, and I would like us to take a quick look. So if you look at the map, we will see that Caesarea was actually very close to Jerusalem, comparatively close to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But this was not a Jewish city. So it was a Gentile city. It was populated primarily by the Gentiles. So, and Peter was...
A Jew.
So because this is a story between Peter and Cornelius. So this is Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile. Cornelius lives in Caesarea, and he's a warlord. And then the angel talks to him. Let's read verse 4. So it's Acts chapter 10, verse 4. And Samantha, could you read verse 4 for us?
Sure. It says, "And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' So he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God.'"
Okay, so do you see this Gentile warlord? Yeah. And what is the response of the angel to Cornelius?
Your prayers are heard.
Yeah.
And that we see what the things that you've been doing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a powerful thing we see about Cornelius from the beginning that I think could be applied to all of us who are, you know, Christian people trying to follow Jesus, that there are other people in the world that are doing good, and not only that, that God sees them. Mm-hmm. And God... feels you know, that he sees it and he honors it, and he wants now to bring this man of God, Peter, in connection with this guy, Cornelius.
He communicates with those
right.
people as well.
Right, he and talks to them.
Yeah, he talks right. to them. Right. Yeah, so it's and this is interesting because Jewish followers of Jesus at that time. Mm-hmm. So Jewish followers of Jesus, they thought that it would be the restoration of the land of Israel. Mm-hmm. This is what they thought. Mm-hmm. They didn't even take into consideration the idea that the gospel will be preached all around the world to the Gentiles. Right. Even if it was preached around the world, it will be still preached to the Jews. Mm-hmm. Because Jews were mm-hmm. dispersed all around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's very Jewish. This mm-hmm. is what they thought. And now, in this chapter, we actually see how it all goes to the Gentile cities. Mm-hmm. So that's why Cornelius is the first introduction of this amazing story that will take off. And that's why Paul will continue the story, and he will be preaching all around to the end of the earth, yeah. continue this message to the Gentiles.
I think what's really kind of remarkable here is that Peter is not called to Cornelius to really like introduce him to the idea of God. God introduces himself to Cornelius before Peter even shows up. And that while both men, I think, are transformed as a result of the meeting, Peter is changed just as much as Cornelius is. I think that's a big lesson for me.
Yeah, it's a real pivotal moment because this is the first Gentile that is, you know, kind of paving the way for the gospel to be preached in that area and around the world. And so it's just really expanding the minds of the believers that were, you know, very committed to the cause that they're involved in, but not fully realizing the reach of where the gospel was meant to be sent.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is excellent because we see how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works when the disciples are praying together, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happens, and they actually speak in different languages so that the gospel can be preached. Then we also see how the Holy Spirit works even through persecution.
Yeah.
And then in this phase, we actually see how the Holy Spirit works and speaks through the Scripture. We also saw through the Scripture. And now the Holy Spirit works even in non-believers context. Mm-hmm. So it's believers. Wow, wait a second. The Holy Spirit works even in non-believers.
The Holy Spirit is kind of, we've been saying a lot how the book of Acts is the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. Mm-hmm. And really, the Holy Spirit's one step ahead of the apostles now. In this one, there's almost an eagerness for God to spread this message that he's one step ahead of the apostles here.
Why do you think it is important for us to remember that we do not own the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes we think, oh, this is us. Like, this is our Holy Spirit. Why is it so crucial for us to remember that the Holy Spirit actually owns the world?
Because it's not ours to keep. I guess I'm reminded of the verse in 2 Corinthians that says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Like, God is poured himself into us to relate to other people. Like, Jesus became man to relate to man, and now his Spirit is in us as a way for us to spread that. And it doesn't mean that we own it or that it belongs to us, but it's a treasure that we have to spread beyond ourselves.
I think it's part of our nature, actually, to kind of want to get things and keep it for ourselves.
Absolutely.
And it's important to remember that the Spirit and the gospel and Jesus kind of transcends all of that race, culture, religion even.
I think what we're about to see with the theme we're going to be looking at coming up, Oleg, is the way that the Holy Spirit actually transforms you. You can't keep this thing in a jar. You can't keep this thing and put it in your back pocket. That this is something that you don't take, that it takes you. And we're about to see the kind of miraculous ways that it takes Peter.
Yeah, exactly. And so he will also speak to Peter in a vision, in a powerful vision, so that his mind can be changed. And I'm just reminded of the saying that actually Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He said that the Holy Spirit is given, distributed to everyone for the goodness of all. Each person receives the Spirit for the goodness of all. Wow. And all is all capitalized. O-A-L-L-L. Because it's for all. So you can also experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will continue our discussion after this break. So we just talked about how the Cornelius is the man who was lived in Caesarea. Caesarea is a Gentile city built by to praise the Caesar from Rome, to praise Caesar. He's a Gentile. He's a warlord. And he's the one who receives the message from God. He receives the message, and the message is actually following. You need to send some of your servants to go all the way to Jaffa, which is not far from Caesarea, and to call for Peter to invite him and listen to him.
Right.
And then, so at this time, when this all is happening, Peter is having a vision. So Sergio, lead us to this.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those things. We're seeing the acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is making moves now, and he's bringing Cornelius and Peter together. So I want to take a quick character profile of Peter, but actually look at it in contrast to Cornelius. So Peter, we see, is based in Jerusalem. And Cornelius, we see, is based in Caesarea, Jewish city, Gentile city. Peter is a Jew oppressed by the Romans. Cornelius is a Roman. Next, we have Peter is one of the leaders of the apostles of Jesus. Next, Cornelius is a warlord. I mean, he's a centurion. Then we have some similarities, though. Peter is God-fearing and prayerful. Cornelius is God-fearing and prayerful. Then Peter gives to those in need. We've seen that a few times. And Cornelius also gives to those in need. So while they have these dramatic differences, the Venn diagram of these two guys overlaps in that they're both God-fearing and prayerful, and they give to those in need. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's enough for God to start something.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But if you think about Peter, what he's faced with is a huge challenge. Because imagine something that you could, try to imagine. We just can't probably.
It's like you said, I don't know that there's a direct corollary for us today. This is very difficult. Yeah.
So Peter was a Jew. And for the Jews of that time, to associate with Gentiles was just abomination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they would call the Gentiles like dogs, and we saw it even in swine and so forth. So this is what it was happening. And now Peter sees a vision, and that vision is just different types of animals. And we know till this day, people don't eat pork and something because it's based on Leviticus chapter 11, mm-hmm. we can say. And it's, so he says, no, God says to him, no, you should start eating it. What would you make out of this? Like, what would be the correlation to us? What would be your reaction?
Well, I think it's so interesting how Peter responds. He says, no, Lord, I have never.
It's mm-hmm. verse 14. Verse 14, yes.
Right.
He says, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. I think personally, I probably would react like that. But I think God is all about pushing us out of our comfort zones. I mean, daily, every day, mm-hmm. whether it's to spend a little bit extra time in prayer or to talk to that person that God's impressing you to talk to and you don't want to. Mm-hmm. I think God's all about this, about just taking us out of the box.
Right.
And so, we like so badly want to stay in that box, and he's like,
so
no.
So let me ask you a question. Is this, can we take this passage and talk about clean and unclean foods that we can say, oh, yeah, you see, Jesus said, no, you can eat all this food.
Well, I'll say if that were the meaning, then God would, when Peter had said this, oh, I can't eat those things, God would have said, you can now, buddy. And then he would have gone to Cornelius' house, and they would have eaten all the swine in the world. That's how this story would play out. But it's not how it plays out. So there's a deeper meaning beyond the what is clean and unclean foods.
Yeah, so you see, it's just, he says, I haven't eaten anything common first. Let's just read verse 14. Verse 14, it says, but Peter said, not so, Lord. Do you see what is happening? He said, Lord says, do this, and he says, no, Lord.
Right.
Whenever we see the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit says to do something, then they do it. Mm-hmm. In this case, they object the Lord.
Well, but in Peter's defense, I mean, he is, from his perspective, being asked to do something that goes against his own religious beliefs, at least as he sees them, as mm-hmm. he understands this up until now. So Peter is almost bound by a sense of religious duty to even resist this voice speaking to him. But I think it becomes all the more remarkable that eventually God does break Peter down, and he is willing to move on.
Yeah. So he says, I haven't eaten anything common, which means anything that hasn't even been prepared inappropriately.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Eaten that, nor unclean foods, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just such a deep-seated conviction that he has, that he's, mm-hmm. you know, just grown up with and been surrounded by his whole life. And so, you know, this is overturning the way that he thinks, the way, and just challenging not just this specifically, but, you know, how he approaches different things and how mm-hmm. he approaches people. And so I think it's a really interesting way that this was presented to him, and he gets it right away, and he realizes the correlation between the vision that he has and the meeting that he has with Cornelius.
Yeah, he gets it after three times.
Right.
It was happening three times. Verse 16 says, this was done three times, and the object was taken up into mm-hmm. heaven. And then Peter wondered what it was.
Right.
And then when he saw these people coming. So what is the greater, deeper meaning? He said, Jesus is trying to teach him a very important lesson. Mm. It's not a lesson about a doctrine. It's not a lesson about who you or what you condemn or what you condone.
Right.
It's not a lesson about what is good or what is bad. Right. The lesson is, are you ready to accept everyone, even if they do something that is wrong? Mm. Are you ready to accept some doctrine, not the doctrine itself, but the person? Mm-hmm. Because this is what the story is. Then, so you see, it's sandwich.
Right.
Cornelius, this Gentile who is pious, and then this Peter's vision, and then Cornelius again.
Yeah.
So the story, the main story, is about Cornelius, who is a Gentile, who Peter is called to accept.
Yeah, no, I think it's powerful. I'm still kind of responding to and processing what you said, Samantha, about how we like to stay in our comfort zones, mm-hmm. and God oftentimes tries to push us out when we don't even want to. And I think sometimes a place we can feel really comfortable in is a seat of judgment. You know, mm-hmm. that I feel comfortable with that. It makes me feel better about myself. It makes me feel high. But that's one of the things that Jesus expressly commanded us not to do. Mm-hmm. He said it in as short of words as you could say. He said, do not judge on the yes. Sermon on the Mount. Not because there's no judgment in the world, not because there's no need for us to live good lives, but because it's just not my job. There is judgment in the world, but I'm not the judge.
Because right. if you were to judge, if imagine if they were to judge, would the church grow in such rapid stages?
Right.
No.
It wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah. It's really amazing to me that, you know, Jesus gave an example of how we should live, and he ate with tax collectors and sinners and Gentiles, yeah. and the disciples still didn't get it. And yet he meets them where they're at and speaks to them in a way that they can understand and doesn't, you know, expect them to have
right.
gotten it completely,
right.
And unfolds to them, you know, little by little, how it is they should be reacting to other people. And it isn't immediate with, mm-hmm. with Peter. It is even after he meets Cornelius, things dawn
exactly.
on him.
And after that.
After that. Yes, exactly.
What if God had judged Peter's stubbornness from the mm-hmm. beginning and said, you got to figure this out, Peter. This is too much. But what God is so patient and accepting with him. No, you're going to get this. You keep fighting me and all this stuff. His whole life, and God is so patient with him. Who could I then claim to be bigger than that and above that? I'm going to be above God and not be that way. I think this is how transformation happens. Mm-hmm. This is how unity happens in our church. And we've got to stop here. But there's more we could talk about. But we're really kind of arriving at this ultimate eureka moment that Peter is going to have. And hopefully we can have it here around the table soon. We'll be back soon. Thanks for joining us with Cross Connection Acts. All right, so we're about to arrive at this point where Peter is about to do this incredible display of acceptance and pushing himself, like you were saying, Samantha, way outside of his comfort zone. And as we take a look at that and prepare to look at that, we want to maybe ask the question of ourselves as we were preparing for this study, what are some things that exist outside of our comfort zone? Where does this fear end, and how can we push ourselves beyond it? And so we started to ask ourselves the question of, just as Peter in his world had people that he would never have even conceived of mm-hmm. talking to or going into their house, what are some people like that exist for us, and how can we take that just first step of, as you said, Oleg, not putting ourselves in the position of approving or not approving of certain behavior or lifestyle or whatever, but just having that conversation and just approaching someone and what can happen from that.
Exactly, because it was so dramatic for Jesus to reveal this vision to Peter's dramatic vision. And now he needs to learn how to accept, because the church cannot grow if you do not accept. Mm. The work of the Spirit cannot continue if we do not accept, because the unity that we were learning from chapter 2, chapter 4, is not possible if we are not ready to accept. Mm. Transformation is the Spirit, but the unity.
I think one thing that kind of steps in the way or kind of blocks us from achieving that unity is that I think a lot of times we want to understand, but God has not called us to understand and try to decode people's situation. I think that's a big hindrance to achieving unity.
That's really powerful. I think, can we exist in a group where I go, I will never understand you, but I love you. You know, can we exist in a world that with that mindset? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is just, I guess, the disciples are, like, this is the greatest lesson that the disciples apparently need to learn.
Yeah.
How to accept. And this is what we see, apostles. This is what they have been struggling for, and they will continue struggling when we will be reading about mm-hmm. it later. How to accept Gentiles. Mm. This is what the church cannot do till this day. We can accept Gentiles, but how to accept those who do not view some things the same way? How can we accept people who have different color? How can we accept people that have different gender? How can we accept people who have different, whatever that may be, you name it. This is the main issue. Mm. How can we accept them? Not condemning, not condoning,
right.
but accepting.
I think it starts with just kind of acknowledging our own sinfulness. Mm-hmm. I think we all go through moments in our life where God reminds us of our own weakness and our own sinfulness. I go through that more than I would like to go through that, where I'm just reminded what a sinful person I am. And I always come back to, we've been talking about this, you and I, like how it always brings us back to grace and how we've received so much grace from God. How then can I expect to deny someone else that and put myself in this judgment seat where because I don't understand or approve of certain behavior, I could never accept you? Where God hasn't done that to me. How could I do that to someone else?
I agree with you. I think a lot of times we should take a moment and kind of think of what God has done for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to deny that kind of amazing life transforming power to someone else, we don't have that authority. And I think we should remind ourselves that.
It's interesting how the Holy Spirit was always coming when the word about the cross was present.
Mm.
So the word about the cross is so crucial. The death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we experience the death of Jesus Christ with Jesus Christ, and we understand the death of Jesus Christ, then we will be accepting people. Mm. Because he died. Think about it. He is the one who entered into this world. Unacceptable world.
Mm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Unacceptable in every respect because he was not accepted
right. Into
this world. And this is what he did. He died. Mm. And now if I look at the cross and I reject somebody else who he died for, I sin against the Spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's key. Like, where our focus is where our actions follow. And so many times we are focused on ourselves or how we're going to be perceived by other people, and that prevents us from reaching or really connecting with other people. And that's not any different than what was going on here in Acts, where people were concerned about their status and their image and whether they were going to be ceremonially unclean or, you know, whether if they interacted with these people, how are people going to view me? And I think sometimes that can factor into how we relate to other people and say, you know, if I start spending all my time with all these people who other people don't, you know, understand and associate with, then that's going to reflect on me. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we keep our focus on the cross and we keep our focus on Jesus and what we've been given, then it doesn't matter, you know, what other people are seeing and what, you know, what their opinion is of us, or, you know, it's that connection that we have with Jesus and that we're then able to connect with other people around us.
That's powerful.
I just want to be like Peter, and I want to actually be receptive to learn from Jesus and to learn from the Word of God.
Yeah.
So I may feel like I'm already perfect, but no, I still have long ways to go.
Yeah.
And this perfection is actually learning how to realization that I'm a sinner, realization that I need to come to the cross, realization that I need to start accepting people.
Right.
That's what I want to learn. Yeah.
No, that's just really powerful. I think we want to remind ourselves of that every day. Thank you, everyone here, for ministering to me powerfully in that way. And as we challenge ourselves to step outside of our comfort zones, we want to challenge you to firstly pray, and then see how the Spirit might guide you this week to step outside of your comfort zone, interact with someone that you normally wouldn't, and see how that goes. Maybe you could tell us about it on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, everywhere else. And you can also find us at the Hope Channel store. Get ready for our next week's study for Cross Connection Acts. Go to the Hope Channel store, download a study guide. Until then, we'll see you next week.